Welcome back. You listened Across the Border. We're continuing here, reading a few words from Henry about the situation with Saul and his fall from the height that he had been elevated to in being the king over Israel. Henry says, "This order was broke." Let me jump back here. Let's see. "Perhaps that order, though inserted there, was given him afterwards or was given him as a general rule to be observed in every public congress at Gilgal, or, as is most probable, though not mentioned again, was lately repeated with reference to this particular occasion, for it is plain that Saul himself understood it as obliging him from God now to stay till Samuel came, else he would not have made so many excuses as he did for not staying. This order Saul broke, he said, till the seventh day, yet had not patience to wait to the end of the seventh day. Perhaps he began to reproach Samuel as false to his word, careless of his country, and disrespectful of his prince, and thought it more fit that Samuel should wait for him than that he should wait for Samuel. He presumed to offer a sacrifice without Samuel, and nothing appears to the contrary but that he did it himself, though he was neither priest nor prophet, as if, because he was king, he might do anything, a piece of presumption which King Uzziah paid dearly for. And he determined to engage the Philistines without Samuel's directions, though he had promised to show him what he should do. So self-sufficient Saul was that he thought it not worthwhile to stay for a prophet of the Lord, either to pray for him or to advise him. This was Saul's offense, and that which aggravated it was, for that for aught that appears he did not send any messengers to Samuel to know his mind to represent the case to him." So let's continue, jump back here. "And Samuel said to Saul, 'Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever.'" Yes, instead of the son of David, it would have been the son of Saul. How about that? "But now the kingdom shall not continue. Yahuwah has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And Samuel arose and got him up from Gilgal to Gibeah, the Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan his son and the people that were present with them abode in Gibeah of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped at Michmash, and the spoilers came out to the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned unto the way that leadeth to Ophrah, unto the land of Shaul, and another company turned to the way of Beth Horon, and another company turned to the way of the border that looketh to the valley of Zib-Oim, toward the wilderness. Now there was no blacksmith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, 'Lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears.'" So basically, here's what happened, is the Philistines, they're now governing Israel, and they have disarmed the people and taken away their means of arming themselves. "But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock." So they needed their tools to work, but no swords were allowed. The Philistines had totally disarmed the Israelites so that they had to go to the Philistines to have their implements sharpened. "Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and Jonathan his son was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash, chapter 14, verse 1. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bore his armor, Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under the pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, sent the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over into the Philistines' garrison was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Senai. The forefront of the one was situated northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bore his armor, Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by a few. In other words, Jonathan saying, it doesn't matter how many we have, if the Lord is with us, we will prevail, basically. And his armor bearer said unto him, Do all that is in thine heart, turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus to us, Tarry till we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, Come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor-bearer, and said, Come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor-bearer, Come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor-bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor-bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor-bearer made was about 20 men, within, as it were, half acre land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the hosts in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, and they trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. And Then said Saul unto the people that were with him, Number now and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor-bearer were not there. And Saul said to Ahiah, Bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priests, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said to the priests, Withdraw thine hand. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle, and behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a very great discomfiture. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel, which had hid themselves in the Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Beth-Aven. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, "Cursed be the man that eateth any food until even, that I may be avenged of my enemies." So none of the people tasted any food. And all the land, and all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come to the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, dipped it in the honeycomb, and he put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, "Thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day." And the people were faint. And, you know, I think the issue here is Saul speaking presumptuously. These men, you know, fighting a battle, having no food, and not allowing the people to eat, and the people are faint. And, of course, Jonathan, not hearing the curse, he eats honey. So that's the situation we're in here. Then said Jonathan, "My father has troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found, for had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines?" And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ashkelon, and the people were very faint. And the people flew upon the spoil, and took the sheep and oxen and calves, and slew them on the ground, and the people did eat them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, "Behold, the people sin against the Lord, in that they eat with the blood." And he said, "You have transgressed. Roll a great stone unto me this day." And Saul said, "Disperse yourselves among the people, and say unto them, Bring me hither every man his ox, and every man his sheep, and slay them here, and eat, and sin not against the Lord, eating with the blood." And all the people brought every man his ox with him that night, and slew them there. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord, and the same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. And Saul said, "Let us go down after the Philistines by night, and spoil them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them." And they said, "Do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee." Then said the priests, "Let us draw hither unto God." And Saul asked counsel of God, "Shall I go down into the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into the hand of Israel?" But he answered him not that day. And Saul said, "Draw ye near hither all the chief of the people to know and see wherein you sin. The sin hath been this day. For as the Lord liveth, which saveth Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die." But there was not a man among all the people that answered him. Then said he unto all Israel, "But ye on one side, as I, and Jonathan my son will be on the other side." And the people said unto Saul, "Do what seemeth good to you, unto thee." Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, "Give a perfect lot." And Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. And Saul said, "Cast lots between me and Jonathan, my son." And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, "Tell me what thou hast done." And Jonathan told him and said, "I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in mine hand, and lo, I must die." And Saul answered, "God do so, and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan." And the people said to Saul, "Shall Jonathan die, who has wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid. As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day." So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. So what's going on here? Saul made his own commandment that the people not eat that day. It wasn't the law of God. It wasn't the command of God but he spoke presumptuously as a king, and he made rules, extra rules, not the law of God, the law of the king. And he made that law, and his own son got snared in that law. And now, just like, to use another illustration, there was a word of another king who gave his word, and it caused the death of another prophet, the one John the Baptist. And this king should have repented of the word he gave, of the law he made against the law of God, but he would not repent. But for his word's sake, for his own law's sake, he put to death that prophet. And we have here Saul doing the same thing, raising himself up, raising his own commandment up to be equal to the commandment of God. And that's how I see it. That's what I'm getting out of this. So in between all of those these and thous, that's the situation that we have here. And so Saul willing to put his own son to death for his own word's sake, for his own commandment's sake, even though Jonathan is more righteous than his own father. And we see that the Lord himself, Yahuwah, demonstrates that to the people by giving Jonathan a great victory that day and delivering Israel out of the hand of their enemies. And Saul, willing to put his own son to death because of his own commandment in the flesh. So we continue here. And the people said to Saul, "Shall Jonathan die who has wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid. As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day." So the people rescued Jonathan that he died not. So we have the people standing against their king because of his unjust decree and willingness to even have his own son killed because of his unjust words, not wanting to go back on his word. Then Saul went up from following the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. So Saul took the kingdom over Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab, against the children of Ammon, against Edom, and against the kings of Zobah, against the Philistines, and whithersoever he turned himself, he vexed them. And he gathered a host and smote the Amalekites and delivered Israel out of the hands of them that spoiled them. Now the sons of Saul were Jonathan, Ishui, and Malchishua, and the names of his two daughters. These were the names of the firstborn, Merab, and the name of the younger was Michal. And the name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz, and the name of the captain of his host was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. And Kish was the father of Saul, and Ner, the father of Abner, was the son of Abiel. And there was sore war against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he took him unto him. So Saul always had an eye out to draft anyone he would into his, for his army, for his standing army. Chapter 15, verse 1. Samuel also said to Saul, "Yahuwah sent me to anoint thee king to be over the people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. Now he laid wait for him in the way, and he came, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass, utterly to destroy the Amalekites." And you know, this is where all of the naysayers and the Bible haters, the critics, of the God of the Old Testament come in, and oh, look at what God slays children and infants and women and everyone. Who were the Amalekites? What were they practicing in their cities? Well, it's coming to a city near you. The Amalekites are among us, and they want to teach your children to be good little sodomites. That's right. They can't have children themselves, so they need to recruit. And they need your sons and your daughters. And now they're teaching them that it's okay to have two daddies or two mommies. What were the Amalekites doing? Soon enough, yes, they will have their way in every way. The way things are going, that's the way it's becoming. And God is not to be held. Our Creator is not to be held to the same standard as men. He cannot murder. He could slay an entire nation and not be a murderer. That's right. He can slay men, women, and children by whatever means he finds necessary or whatever means he desires. He had a tsunami here. A tsunami, and many people like to say that men created that tsunami by whatever, you know, there's all the conspiracy theories out there, but we've had our natural disasters throughout histories where even hundreds of thousands have perished. Men, women, children, infants, sucklings, everyone perished. The good with the bad. Yet our God is not a murderer. And perhaps we're going to pick up here next time, because this could get quite an extensive topic for me to discuss. You're listening to Cross the Border, and hopefully you'll join me next time as we continue this topic. Remember, as always, in everything you say and in everything you do, bless His holy name. Hallelujah.